Welcome to season two of our podcast. I'm Katie.
And I'm Natalie. Come along with us every week as we laugh, learn, and listen
to the stories that make up a mom's life.
I have been home so much lately. My sitter has been sick in the hospital. She's doing all right, but she's better. And I am losing my mind when it comes to getting everything done. The kids, the job, the relationships, and the dinner, which is impossibly hard for me. So I need help.
You're calling in someone who has been there many of times, and that is me.
Yes. I need help with like dinner prep wizard. Like I need help because this stuff isn't cutting it anymore. I've done HelloFresh and guess what? It's too much work.
I agree with that. I never like to bash anything. And I know you don't either. We like to like promote positive things. And I will say this about any meal prep service. It's too much freaking work. I don't have time. I don't send it to me like a microwave dinner and let me put it in the oven or in the microwave. Like, why am I still chopping?
I mean, my husband loves to cook. Don't get me wrong. And he's great at it. He comes home though from work. And the last thing that I want him to be doing is cooking and taking time away from children. What I want him to do when he comes home is to hold this baby that I've been holding all day long. So please don't cook, hold a baby.
Let me cook. Cause when you're cooking, you can drink, you can dance, you can listen to music and you like feel, you know, like Betty Crocker, Martha Stewart, like.
And mom takes care of the baby still. Nope. I want him to be all fatherly duty. So help me out, Katie. You have some tips. You've been there. You've done that. So help us, help our listeners and especially me.
Yes. So, and I will not claim to be an expert. However, I will say over 12 years of experience of doing this as well. I also work. I also podcast. I also run the home like so many of our listeners. And so there's a lot to be done. And dinner, I saw this or read this somewhere. It comes every night. Like it never doesn't come. You have to have dinner every single night.
And unfortunately, really yes. Yeah.
Bullshit. But
especially for kids, like they need to eat.
So. They have to. I know. It's like lunch and breakfast. It's just like, whatever, here's something. But it's like, and I think that's probably my first tip is dinner doesn't have to be such a production. And I believe that this is left over from like the 1950s.
Yes.
When women, I'm not going to say all because women worked, but some were home more and they made, and that's amazing, but they made like, you know, the tablecloths and they wore a dress and pearls and there were like four courses on a Tuesday, which is great. And that's so wonderful. And I'm very hats off to them.
Just the fact that they were dressed like that.
I know. I know. It's like, what is happening? It does not have to be a production. I don't feel like there ever needs to be serving utensils, serving plates, like plate it from the stove to the plate and give it to them. My mother-in-law, she's amazing and she's an amazing cook, but everything is family style, which is great. However, you have 99 more dishes because you have the serving plate, the serving platter, the serving utensils. You have so many things to consider. Take it from the pot to the plate. That's like number one tip. Stop putting anything in extra bowls on the table. Not even bread. Throw it on their plate. You never need another dish. I'm not saying use paper plates as much because I know that's not great for the environment. Also use paper plates like daily. I'm just going to call myself out. But you don't need to use so many dishes and utensils. Like stop doing that.
Yes. Only for like Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Yes. Even then you can probably streamline it. Let's be honest.
Let's just cut the waste.
Not have to be fancy. I feel like this is left over where it has to be meat and potatoes with a salad and you have to have a vegetable and a fruit and there has to be a dessert. Dessert in my house is you didn't eat enough dinner. So go have seconds. I'm out. I'm not doing that. But dinner doesn't have to be a production. You can serve for dinner something that you serve for lunch. So think about if you gave your toddler or even your kids or your husband or yourself a sandwich and some Goldfish crackers, you can also serve that for dinner. You do not have to do meatloaf and fajitas. Like, I don't know why we put this pressure on ourselves, but that's like, it's almost like a myth that it has to be this hot fancy meal and it does not.
I totally feel that because I feel like I need to have like a nice home cooked meal every single weeknight.
Well, yeah, you would like that if someone cooked it for you.
Well, that's true. But
if you are the cooker in this situation, it can be anything. I mean, make it the colors of the rainbow. Find something red, apples. Find something green, broccoli. Find, you know what I mean? Pick something so it's still healthy. But that's a tip. Go from pot to plate and also not, it can be anything. It does not have to be hot every night. In fact, challenge yourself to make sandwiches for dinner one night. How easy is that?
Yeah. I never do that. I should do that.
You should. Yes. And I think that's another tip. Get the kids involved when they can. Obviously you have a baby. He's not helping, not helpful. but your toddler. And I mean, honestly, I think starting at two, probably they can help you get stuff out. They can do things as your kids get older. This one, again, not yet applying to you, but it will. They take a night and they make dinner for the family. Ooh. I started this last year. Again, not specifically a tip for you, but I started this when my kids were 9 and 10. I gave them the parameters. Of course, I purchased the food and I made sure they had stuff. And I was right there. I never like left the house. And
don't burn the house down. Yes.
Yeah. I need a steak. You know, it was very, I didn't have them boiling or baking in an oven, nothing like that, but they can do so much. I mean, your daughter who is, she's going to be five. No, she's, yeah.
No, she she's will gonna, be. Yep.
She'll be five. She can put sauce. She can open a, pizza crust with scissors. Mm-hmm. If you're standing there, safety scissors, you can open the jar of sauce for her. She can spread the sauce on the pizza. She can sprinkle the cheese. She can put on the pepperonis. That's not only fun for her, it's teaching her. She can learn how to clean up and all you have to do is stick it in the oven. Mm-hmm. So that's a little bit of, I mean, that's another thing that goes with my not fancy pizza night. Can be anytime. It does not have to be like Friday night. Oh, we had pizza because I was lazy. Pizza's not lazy. Pizza is amazing.
I love pizza.
It can be pizza night every night if you want it to be.
That's my husband would hate that, but I love pizza that much.
Yeah, well, he's not cooking, so he doesn't get a say. Sorry, Doug. okay, when you do cook, always, every single time, double up your recipe. So what do I mean every time? I mean, if I am making chili, spaghetti, meatloaf, soup, anything, I always double for the amount of people that are going to eat it. So I have five in my family. Everybody eats everything. So I will make double that every single time that I cook. I freeze it in a Ziploc bag. And that way on the night when I come home from a meeting or a podcast recording, or I have to work super early for the news, I leave that bag out in the fridge thawing and I shove it in a pot and it's done.
Okay.
Never cook once.
Well, that's always true. It's kind of silly, right? If you're already doing it,
that's what you're already in there. And it's kind of like, it's like has the opposite effect. I always think like, if I exercise more today, I won't have to tomorrow. No, that doesn't work. But with cooking, it yields more results. Same way with cookies. I always tell my friend when cookies and pancakes, I loathe making pancakes. I hate it so much. I don't know why. It makes no sense. I just don't like it. When I cook pancakes, I make the entire box, whole thing. The whole thing is made. We eat what we eat. The rest go into a plastic Ziploc bag. They're in the freezer. Kids can put them in the microwave for school. Done.
Do you have a humongous freezer?
We do have a chest freezer that we got during the start of COVID when we were like, oh, there's going to be nothing. we do have a chest freezer and then we just have a regular freezer, but I'm real organized. So like there's nothing thrown in, like it's all very stacked so I can access it. So I think that helps. I don't know.
Okay. So do you have to like write on it? Like how, when you made it, because it's only good for so long. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I probably go past the time when things are good for, cause I'm like, but it's fine. I mean, when I look at a can of soup and it says like, it's done in like 17 years, I'm like, clearly the food that I'm making can go 6 months, right?
Yes.
I don't know. That's just,
hey, you're not getting sick off it. Oh, well,
that's what I think. It's frozen. It's fine. So anyway, always, always, always double cook, double batch, everything you make, freeze one, eat one. Cooking prepping tip, go to the store, get art craft paper or meat packing paper or any type of the big roll of paper that you can find at an art store. You can, if you don't want to do that and you get paper bags from the grocery store that have the logo on them, cut them in half, lay your counter with that paper every time you go to cook. set, adhere it almost to the counter. So as you're going to cook and you're chopping and you've got chicken breasts and you've got oil and things spill, all you have to do when you're finished, roll it up, throw it in the trash. Mm-hmm. You don't wipe down your counter. You are not bleaching things from chicken, raw chicken bits, whatever that is.
Yes.
That one, I love that one. That's so, it makes it so easy and nothing's like falling all over the place and mm-hmm. nothing's like, you know, that spot in between the stove and the countertop.
Yes.
Where things are, if you put your art paper over that, obviously don't have the stove on, it catches all of that. So like the chicken fat is not dripping in between your counters. It's safer that way.
Mm, gosh, my counters are always filthy. I feel like I'm cleaning constantly. So that's too. A brilliant idea.
Maybe just line them all 100% of the time.
Right? Every day. Who needs Ever countertops? Let's just use these.
Yeah. Okay. Another tip, cook several pounds of ground meat, whether that be beef, chicken, turkey, whatever you prefer. And then you do that at the beginning of the week, you have it on hand for a few days. So my family likes ground beef, or ground chicken. We loathe ground turkey with a very serious passion.
Okay.
Some people love it and it's a healthier alternative. So there you go. But if you do that, thaw it, cook it, and have it on hand for the entire 3 to 4 days, depending on, you know, your packaging and stuff, it'll tell you, but it is so great. You then have ground meat that you can make into tacos quickly one night, add some stuff, heat it up in a pan. You can make it into chili. You can make it into spaghetti. You can sprinkle it over top of a salad, throw it into a stew, but you already have meat ready. It's great protein.
Like cooked. You're done with the mess.
You've done it. And that's what I mean. Cook once. Eat like 10 times.
Okay.
Like stop cooking every night. That's probably number one above all, stop cooking every night. That's crazy.
And it is crazy. You think like, yeah. What?
Don't do that.
Stop cooking every night.
No, it's like if you had a washing machine that was like one of those massive ones at the laundromat and you could put more in, like, don't do laundry every day. Just do it. Throw it all in there. My washer obviously does not have that capacity, but
that makes sense though.
Doesn't
Come
it?
On. Yeah. Work smarter, not harder.
Yeah. Do more. It will yield you, like it gives you more time. You're already chopping this stuff. Get a food processor. I never chop vegetables. Everything goes into the food processor. That's just the easiest thing in the whole world.
Okay.
If you don't have a food processor, grab one, get a big one. The ones that's like 2 quarts that you can chop everything, except don't put tomatoes in there. That's tough. But like anything, peppers, onions, stuff that you would chop, carrots that you would stand there for hours chopping. No, stop that. Put it in the thing, press the button, walk away.
Okay. I need a food processor now.
You have to have a food processor. And if you want to put that on a birthday or Christmas list, there you go.
Please, husband, give me a food processor.
It's Christmas. Not sexy, but you'll feel better. Yeah, and there's more time for sexy Practical. Time if you're not in the kitchen.
There you go.
There it is. okay. This one probably should go with the other. Dinner doesn't have to be fancy. Charcuterie for dinner once or twice a week is perfectly acceptable and fun. The kids can help with that. I do it all the time. And if you just have the stuff on hand, it makes it so much easier. So most people have crackers. Mm-hmm. Most people probably have baby carrots if they have kids. Make a charcuterie board and that's dinner. That's not the appetizer. And you can make really fun ones too. A fun one for the kids. So, hey, if you try everything here, we've got pepperoni, cheese, carrots, crackers, and maybe broccoli. If you try all of this stuff, then you pull out the second charcuterie board and it's graham crackers, chocolate, marshmallows, and caramel sauce or something. So you make it super fun for them so they can see, oh, if I eat all the colors of the rainbow and the healthy stuff, I get to have this really fun one afterwards. I think that's
kind of fun. And love charcuterie, but I always think of it as an appetizer. But you get full off of it.
Oh, totally. And it's healthy. So as long as I think that's the thing, you have to have the items on hand, but as long as you do, I mean, most people are going to have some meat, some veggies, some cheese, some crackers. And that's the thing. You can make one for your baby by putting Cheerios and the puffs. True. If you buy the puffs, like put them a little, I mean, it's kind of fun and silly, but as they get older and are eating with their fingers, they can eat any of that stuff as long as it's healthy for them and not a choking hazard. I mean, you can put popcorn on there. You can, for older kids, obviously, but anything, like anything that you have, And it's fun. It, again, it doesn't have to be hot meat and potatoes to count as dinner. It just doesn't. I want it to go away. I want that to go away. I think another one that I like, this is not that great of a tip. These are just things that I've been doing throughout the years.
No, I love them.
Always have steamable rice and steamable veggies on hand at all times in your freezer.
Yes. And I do have that.
Do you have that? And I think it's just great because rice can become anything. Like sometimes you can just eat rice, you know, especially with kids, you can put soy sauce or add cheese or something like that. But it's also just a great way to be able to make a really fast stir fry, and you don't have to wait for the rice to cook, and you don't have to steam your own veggies and then maybe burn them or they're not cooked enough. I always have steamed rice, like bags of rice and bags of broccoli or, you know, snow peas or whatever it is in the freezer. And if I need dinner and I want a hot dinner or something like that, I very quickly throw all the stuff into the microwave, then stick it in a pan with soy sauce. And it looks like a fancy dinner. And bonus, if you've made your pounds of meat, so like your ground beef, add that on top, sprinkled some peanuts if you want to make it almost like an authentic Asian dish. And it looks like you've cooked and cooked and cooked when really you threw two bags in the microwave, shove something in a skillet, and you're using the meat that you made on Monday.
And one pan is dirty.
And I pretty much will only cook in one pan. If it doesn't all go in one pan, we're having charcuterie.
We might be having charcuterie tonight.
It's great. Like, it's so great. And now being able to order dishes or order groceries online, I guess I shouldn't say now, I've been doing that for years, but you know, some people are new to the game of ordering groceries online. Just figure out what sounds good on a charcuterie board. And you can also get the kids involved in that. So yeah. I don't know if those things would help you, but
yes,
they have really helped me cook less, one pot, and quit the bullshit.
Yes. That's what we need to do is quit the bullshit, especially during the week. Okay. Have fun on the weekends and do your favorite stuff. But weeknights, you're a lot less stressed and a lot happier person if you don't have to do all this crap.
That's completely. And I think this isn't a tip. This is probably what a lot of people do, but breakfast for dinner is always the answer. Mm-hmm. If it's frozen Eggo waffles because you were too busy that week, great. If you're making pancakes because you're super mom, awesome. But always breakfast for dinner makes the easiness. Get the waffle iron. The kids can help you. Like, I really think breakfast for dinner is very underrated.
Yes. I love it. Thank you. Thank you. I needed all of those tips.
So if you like today's episode full of tips for cooking and prepping and all of that, just my own stuff that I've done over the years, we also talked to another woman who kind of went a little bit more into what she does.
Yes. Her name is Karen, and she started her own little business called Supper Sanity, and she helps people, moms especially, meal plan. So here's a little bit from her.
So Karen, you've made this, you know, kind of easy for people to do. I've tried your system and it works a lot better.
Well, thank you. It's something that I've been very passionate about. I've been a meal planner for very, very many years. I'm an empty nester. My kids are grown, but I'm happy to say that they're all very good cooks and meal planners themselves and have navigated their own homes quite well. So it's been nice. And I started this blog as a pandemic project because I worked in retail and went on a furlough during the lockdown. And this has been something that's been pulling at my heartstrings for many years. And with the furlough, I thought, you know, this is the time to do it.
So let's talk, Karen. Let's kind of get into some of the tips that you have. You know, so many moms are busy and dads don't want to leave them out. Families, you know, let's talk about why. Why should people meal plan? I know we talked about saving time and money. How does that work?
Yes, saving time and money is definitely what happens when you meal plan. So first off, when you sit down to meal plan, one of the best ways that you can save money is to make a meal from the foods that you have in the house. There's a big tendency to go out and just buy all new, and you didn't take a beat and sit down and look at what's in the fridge, what you didn't make last week.
I am guilty of this every single week. And then I have like 10 jars of mayo and like, you know, all.
Right. So one of the things to do is just to kind of take inventory, the fridge, the freezer, and the pantry, and and see what you have, especially during these pandemics when everybody was stockpiling. You still may have some of that stuff. You read stuff in the magazines where people have went out and got beans. And that's kind of funny because they're probably still sitting in their pantry from last
year. Yeah.
Yes. But I think that you can save, and then also by kind of, again, taking a little bit of inventory and assessing what's on sale at the grocery store before you meal plan too. So, I mean, you can, lots of times I have done it myself, you meal plan while you're at the grocery store, but if you just take a little bit of time and take a look at what's at your home and what's on sale, you can have better outcomes in terms of what you're getting. So that's, you know, and also if you prepare a detailed grocery list, you only get what you need and you save money there because you're not buying stuff that you already have sitting in the pantry.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good tip to take stock. That's one thing that I do. I keep I don't know if it's a tip for anyone that does online groceries, which so many people do now, but I started like 5 years ago. I keep my my online cart open at all times. And so when I'm looking in my pantry or looking in my refrigerator, if I notice we're out of something, I add to cart and then I don't place my order until, you know, whenever I'm ready to do it. But that way it's just a running cart. And so I'm like, oh, we are out of aluminum foil or whatever. I don't know if it helps anybody else, but that way then you don't have lists like all over your house of random things. Like I used to do that. And then I would forget when it came, you know, comes time because you can't collect all the 22 lists you have.
Yeah, consolidate all the lists. Right.
No, that's really smart. And all the digital things that the stores are offering are a good resource and you should really tap into them. You know, if you are digitally ordering with the company, you know, with a pickup, or if you're just making your list, both of those options are great. You can get your meals delivered. You can go pick them up, or you can just make the list like what you're speaking of, Katie. And when you're online and you're writing your list that way, you can also peruse what the digital coupons are available to you at Kroger and take a look at them.
Well, so Karen, you know, as you're talking about some of these ideas, one thing that we were kind of both talking about, Natalie and I, earlier this week, getting participation from family members to help with the meal plan, you know, it doesn't all have to fall on the person that grocery shops, picks it up, puts it away, keeps inventory of it, you know, getting the kids to help, the husband, or if you're the chef, you know, getting your wife to help. Do you have any tips for that?
I think just getting them involved in the planning, shopping, prepping, cooking, setting the table and cleaning, that helps a lot. So set up chores for the kids, but the planning, you know, have kids pick a recipe. One of the things I have on the website is called a meal index. And I just sat down for about a month of meals that are coursed out from a main course, a veggie or a salad and a whole grain. And I just I look through that for me to get inspiration just so it's an easy cheat sheet, but let the kids help plan that. Also ask them what their favorite meal is at a restaurant. Maybe you can get on Pinterest and do a copycat meal yourself to find those favorite meals that they have. So kids can get involved with, you know, again, with choosing what you're having, but also just getting having them set the table and clean. And it's just getting participation on that. On the website, I have a grocery list. That grocery list makes it very, very easy for you to give that grocery list to a teenager or to hubby to go to the grocery store and shop. So that's another way to get participation from them.
Which is the grocery list item. Do any of you, when you give your husband the grocery list, I put it in the order where it's going to be in the store.
Yes.
My husband has asked for that, and I'm not going to say what I told him on this podcast today.
Because otherwise I get a very grumpy husband coming back home who's mad that there are so many people there and he couldn't find anything.
I get the same. He's like, you need to put it in order by aisle. And I'm like, listen, but no, he doesn't go. I do it all myself and it's way easier. I'd order everything. I've been doing it for like 5 years though. I make the orders. I pick them up. He doesn't have to be bothered with it except for, you know, if we go to like a big box store, like a Sam's or a Costco or something, he does go to that, but that's it. But yeah, I think they do, but it's like, listen, I'm going to do all these things for you. You are a fully capable human being.
But then that's the faster he gets home to help me with the baby. So
that's
whatever
true.
I can do to help make this.
So let's talk cookware, gadgets, things like that. And kind of Natalie and I was talking about sous vide cooking. Mm-hmm. recently, and if people aren't doing that, I'm not doing that. But I know, Natalie, you said your husband
is a big sous vide lover right now, and he's
yeah,
and it's amazing. I had no idea what it was until he wanted it for his birthday.
It cooks, yeah. So I think that's a question. Are there any, you know, maybe three great gadgets or tips that you have, Karen, for people who are going to start meal planning, what they should have on hand?
I like the Instapot, which I don't have that brand, but the multi-cooker is the uh-huh. name. And I think that they offer a lot to a family. And I would also recommend getting a cookbook with it so that you are using it. Mm-hmm. I would say game changers. What are nice game changers? Something that everyone should put on their Mother's Day list if they don't have one is a really, really good instant read thermometer. So when you're grilling or even in the oven, so you know when your meat is done. And that's a nice gift. And it's like you didn't really know you needed it until you had it. And gadgets, you know, you just, if you need something, you should get through them and, you know, and utensils as well as gadgets and other miscellaneous. Not good knives are also very important as well. And I recommend that you really get a good chef knife and a good paring knife. And then you want to be able to make sure you have a proper cutting board for them. You do not want to be cutting on the hard surface cutting boards. I don't know what, you know, those like glass type cutting boards, you don't want those for knives. They will ruin them.
Wow. Good tip. Yeah, that is good tip.
Okay, how about, you know, we're talking about grocery lists and things like that. What should we be keeping on hand, like to always have in our kitchen?
Yeah, I like to always have like the ground meats on hand available, either in like bulk sausage or ground turkey and ground beef, because they're so, if you did forget to take something out of the freezer, they're so easy to thaw. And I love sausages, either in the casings like a sausage, like a Met, or in the tubes, because they're ground meat, so they cook quickly, and there's already spices in them, so you're getting a double dip there, where you don't have to add a spice, and they're quick cooking. But I think you want it in your freezer. You want to have chicken breasts, chicken thighs, ground turkey, ground beef. I personally keep raw shrimp in the freezer all the time. I have a lot of recipes with shrimp in them. And then fish fillet, I will keep in there. I usually get salmon while I'm grocery shopping and make it that day. A pork of some kind in there, pork chops in the freezer. But then in your refrigerator, of course, you want milk, eggs, yogurt, mustard, mayo, lemon juice and lime juice and things. And then
that's a good point. The lemon juice and lime juice. I always seem to like need those the most.
Yeah.
I'm scrambling to find them.
Right. I get limes and lemons, you know, but sometimes you go through them really, really early and I'll get fresh ones, but the lemon juice and lime juice are so nice to have in the refrigerator door. And then I like to have some good crumbled cheeses for a salad, feta cheese and goat cheese. And a blue cheese. I like gorgonzola. That's my favorite, but I like to keep those in the fridge. In the pantry, a brown rice, a white rice, a pasta, some crackers, oatmeal, and olive oil, canned tomatoes, of course, and then things that you know, onions and potatoes, the garlic, things that you keep out on the counter, you know, that are also nice.
I went to a cooking class recently and they suggested instead of just like garlic cloves to keep out, I keep the canned garlic in the refrigerator. So it's already like diced and stuff, so much easier than having to go through a garlic clove.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
You can talk about I did your meal planning thing this week. Okay. And you have it all like on your website, the list of how you kind of can plan out your week. So walk us through, you know, if I'm a listener here, you know, where do I start? You know, what would be your suggestion of where to start meal planning?
Okay. Well, the first thing I like folks to do is to create a meal index, meaning just a grid of all the types of foods that you like to eat and kind of keep it in categories. Like mine starts off with beef. What, you know, then I have chili and I like to have coleslaw with my chili and cornbread. So you just write that across and just create a matrix of the main course, the veggie or the whole grain, and then put it by types of protein: beef, chicken, fish and seafood, meatless, pork, and turkey, along that line. So I have one on the site, and that is made available for you so that you can use that as inspiration to remind yourself, or you can use mine or create your own. But I think it's just nice to have a little cheat sheet. If you see that something's on sale, if salmon's on sale, then you can look down and see what recipe you want to make. So it's just kind of, it makes it a quick decision. You know, we have what's for dinner. Sometimes you just can't think. So it takes away that decision fatigue because it's already there. That's my first suggestion, is just to sit down and make a meal index of what your family loves. It's also kind of nice when you create it in a grid like this that, you know, you're missing things. You don't have very many meatless meals. You don't have very many seafood meals, things that you might not think to have. So it kind of helps you to round out and get some variety. So that's the first thing. And then I like to move on to this. That's one page. It's on in the website. The next one is called the weekly planner. And there's where we go through you inventory what's on hand and just jot down what you have already in the fridge, the freezer, and the pantry, so that then you can start to think what you can make that you already have in the house. And then once you fill out your meal plan, then you can transfer all that over into the grocery list.
Well, Karen, thank you so much. Can you tell us a little bit about Supper Sanity and where our listeners can find more information about it?
Sure. Thank you. SupperSanity.com. And there's a Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest as well that you can follow. And then on the site, there's free worksheets that Natalie's been speaking about. And they're available to download and print and use at any time. And then there's recipes to try and get inspiration. And that is one tip I would have, is don't try too many new recipes in the same week. You know, maybe one during the week and one during the weekend, and that would be a lot. So don't go crazy about different kinds of trying new recipes, because that'll cause you angst. But, you know, get comfortable with the goals to provide a healthy, tasty, and simple meal for your family. And everyone's goal is going to be different. But I hope that my worksheets and the recipes get you there and help a bit.
Perfect. It sure will. I'm excited. It's already helping me, so I appreciate it.
Yeah. All thank right. you, Karen.
Thank you.